KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 15 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a chance of flurries, a high of 34. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The Atlantic Police Department reports two men were arrested Thursday on drug charges. 20-year-old Austin Eblin of Atlantic and 21-year-old Andrew Laughlin of Neola face charges that include possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and gathering where marijuana is used. Both men were booked into the Cass County Jail. A union leader says employees at the state-run mental health institutes in Clarinda and Mount Pleasant have been told layoff notices are going out soon, and the facilities will close a few weeks before the current state budgeting year ends on June the 30th. Governor Terry Branstad says he's not sure about the details of the layoffs at the two institutions.
But I do know that, we can't continue to just throw money at a broken system and where we don't have accreditation and where we don't have psychiatrists. We need to devise and develop a modern system that provides the best possible mental health services that we can provide.
Senator Mart Sagebark, a Republican from Vail who used to be a Crawford County Board of Supervisors, said he's not against what Branstad envisions, but Sagebark says counties aren't ready to make the jump yet and provide the services that the mental health institutes have provided.
All we've really heard all year is don't close them. We don't have another option out there to send people to. And if you want to get in a room with a bunch of sheriffs, you'll find that out real quickly.
County sheriffs in southern Iowa say they're either spending far more transporting people with acute mental illness to the two mental health institutes in northern Iowa that are accepting patients, or they're putting patients in local emergency rooms until space in a hospital psych ward opens up. Senate Democratic Leader Mike Gronstall from Council Bluffs says the governor's unilateral approach without consulting with legislators is a concern.
We're listening to mental health professionals and public safety people in this state, and all of the indications we're getting from those folks is they think it's very unwise to close the critical institutions in the state without having developed a plan for treating people that currently go to those facilities. So dumping those folks on the street, hoping for better outcomes, we think is a mistake.
Danny Homan, president of AFSCME Council 61, the union that represents many of the workers at the two MHIs, are being closed.
Before you should shut down an MHI, we should have the community infrastructure in place. We do not.
Holman says the first round of layoff notices will go out this Monday for employees of the Mount Pleasant Mental Health Institute. And for employees in Clarinda, the first round of layoff notices are expected April 20th. Holman says employees were told this past Tuesday that the Clarinda MHI will close on or before May the 18th, while Mount Pleasant will close on around June 11th. The two state-run facilities in southern Iowa are no longer accepting patients, and officials are trying to transfer those who currently are being treated in Clarinda and Mount Pleasant to private facilities. The Audubon County Community Foundation is reminding students in the Exira EHK School District that the deadline for submitting applications for the Exira Lions Club, Harold and Beverly Ann Godwin Endowed Scholarship is March the 31st. The fund will award one scholarship of $1,000 and is open to any high school senior from the Exira EHK School District who is pursuing a 2 or 4 year degree full-time at any accredited vocational, technical, educational institution, a college or university. And officials of the Cass County Community Foundation are reminding students of the deadline for submitting applications for the Dustin McCurdy Endowed Scholarship Fund. It's also March 31st. That scholarship provides two scholarships of about $500 each to high school seniors from Cumberland Anita Messina High School, or CAM. In both scholarship cases, applicants are asked to complete the application form and submit it with a copy of their current transcripts to their current guidance counselor, as directed in the scholarship's fact sheet. Applications are available from your high school guidance counselor. A House panel has approved a bill that would add fine arts to Iowa's mandated education curriculum for K-12 students. An education subcommittee approved the bill on Thursday, and it now advances to a full committee for review. The bill would add music, theater, visual arts, and other fine arts to the Iowa core, the state's academic standards. The Iowa core currently includes English, mathematics, science, and social studies. Emily Piper with the Iowa Association of School Boards says it's better for school districts to infuse fine arts education into the current curriculum without a state mandate. Representative Greg Forrestal, a Republican from Macedonia and co-sponsor of the bill, says the addition would help prioritize fine arts education. Similar legislation was introduced last session but did not advance. A series of workshops targeting Iowa beef producers will be held across western Iowa next month, which will compare various types of cattle operations. Beth Doran is a beef program specialist at Iowa State University Extension based in Orange City. She said the workshops are targeted toward potential and current producers.
We're going to try to give an overview of the facility type. So we'll be talking about different kinds of facilities, hoop barns, monoslope barns, open lots, deep pitted slatted floor barns. We're going to talk a little bit about the advantages and disadvantages of them and try to review some of the research on those types.
Doran says producers will receive several production resources and tools, as well as an updated manual on feedlot systems.
We're also going to give those, the workshop participants, several scenarios, and they'll have to work through making appropriate choices for an operation. That might be involve their financing decisions, cost-benefit measurements, and taking a look at that production environmental risk that's going on with that.
Doran says Northwest Iowa contains a lot of the different operations that will be discussed in the workshops. Producers interested in attending should call their local extension office to pre-register. The workshops will be held March 3rd in Emmitsburg, March 4th in Cherokee, March 18th in Lewis, and March 25th in Carroll. Well, firefighters have rescued a man from a smoke-filled apartment in the central Iowa city of Nevada. Fire trucks were sent to the scene a little before 10 a.m. on Thursday, and firefighters found the man inside an apartment that was emitting black smoke. The man was taken to Story County Medical Center and later transferred to Mercy Medical in Des Moines. The Nevada Public Safety Department says the man's injuries were not considered to be life-threatening. His name was not released, and the cause of the fire is under investigation. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says in a new report that the number of farms in Iowa continues to slide. In an annual report released Thursday, the USDA said Iowa farms fell to 88,000 last year. That's 500 fewer than the year before. Most of the decrease came in the small farm category, with those with annual sales between $1,000 and $10,000. The number of Iowa farms has fallen 1.2% since 2010, while the average farm size is up 1.2% in the same period, a reflection of national trends. The average farm in Iowa is 347 acres. That's up 1 acre from the year before. Iowa had 30.5 million acres in farms last year. That was down 100,000 acres from the year before. And a jury has found an Estherville man guilty of first-degree murder in the fatal shooting of a 30-year-old woman. An Emmett County jury has convicted Scott Sudbeck in the killing of Michaela Jordan last February at her Estherville home. Sudbeck testified this week that he went against his no-contact order by visiting Jordan. He says that his gun went off as he was turning to leave and he didn't notice Jordan had been shot. His defense team says that while Sudbeck did shoot Jordan, it wasn't intentional. Sudbeck's sentencing hearing has been scheduled in April. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.